VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew chapter 24. In that chapter, the disciples were asking Jesus about the signs of his coming, and Jesus told about false imposters claiming to be Christ. He warned about deception. He warned about wars and rumors of wars, nations rising up against nation. He talked about famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, persecutions, martyrdom, and so much more. There are those who are looking at what is unfolding in our world today with Russia and Ukraine and many other nations who are perhaps getting involved in one way or another and wondering if we're on the precipice right now of World War III. And how does all of this relate to Bible prophecy? Some are asking questions concerning the war written about in Ezekiel 38 about Gog and Magog. Is there any connection to what's going on today to Bible prophecy? What about China? What about Iran? Well, we're going to delve into a number of those issues today in studio with our guest, Dr. Richard Schmidt, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, also heads prophecy-focused ministries, a speaker on WVCY television program called Prophecy Focus. And Dr. Schmidt, good to have you here.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm great to be here. It's I always say I love being on this program. This is a particular time, though, when perilous times are here. Absolutely unbelievable things happening on the global scene, and I'm glad we get a few minutes to talk about this.
Well, friends, what we see unfolding today is certainly tragic in Europe. Pastor Schmidt, it's been reported today over 2 million refugees have fled Ukraine, about 1.2 million in Poland. Today, a children's hospital bombed. Death toll is escalating, both of Russian and Ukrainians as well. And many are really having a hard time making sense of all that's going on. Is this all just happening by accident?
Well, first of all, it doesn't make sense as to what's happening from a human standpoint. Mm-hmm. We look at these things, it's tragic. We're seeing catastrophic, horrible things taking place. But when we look at this from a biblical perspective and we look at the prophetic scriptures, all of a sudden, some of these things, which we certainly don't appreciate, but do they play a prophetic nexus? And you went through some of those things when you opened the program from Matthew 24, which, of course, are signs that'll take place during the tribulation, specifically leading up to the second coming of Christ. So these things are right in front of our face right now. We're seeing things happening on a global scale that are matching up with Bible prophecy.
So when you're talking about these things of Matthew 24, those are not signs pointing to a rapture. Those are signs that come actually when Christ returns to the earth with the saints.
Well, absolutely. Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, Luke 21 and Mark 13, all speak to signs that literally will be taking place during the tribulation. The backup for that is Revelation chapter 6 through 16, where all those signs are also mentioned, referring to that seven-year period. So what we're seeing now, and my good friend who's with the Lord now, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, used to always state, what we're seeing now is the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.
Let's take a look here about what we find in Ezekiel chapter 38. I've heard many people reference this, and if you could explain for us, Pastor, what is the context of Ezekiel 38? And there are references in there. People see names like we don't see on a map today. They'll see Gog. They'll see Magog. Who or what is this referring to? What nations are involved? Take us to Ezekiel 38, and if you can unfold that for us.
Well, this is an excellent passage. It's talking about a prophetic event that will take place in the future. And what is it specifically referring to? I'm just going to read two verses to kind of set the context for those who may not have heard it even. Ezekiel 38, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. In that passage, and we could go on to other verses, to verse 6 and so forth, mentions the other nations involved. We read that, and it's like, well, who is being talked about? We have no clue who these people are, except if you go back 2,000 years and get the maps and the understanding of what these nations refer to. So here's what we have. Gog is actually the future leader that's going to be the leadership over this war that's going to take place. And by the way, the whole war is targeting Israel. So what's going to happen? Magog is Russia. Russia's a key player. We look back to when the Soviet Union fell, and then in 1991, when Ukraine became a nation and everything became different at that point. We thought the Soviet Union was done. Well, the Soviet Union is not done in the form of Russia, as Russia absolutely must come back to power again in order to fulfill this passage. So it's prophecy. Magog is Russia. Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, Togarmah are all in nations, if you will, that were in current modern-day Turkey. Libya is Libya. Persia, and I always say, Persia, what's that refer to? Well, if you want a nice Persian rug, where do you go? Well, it refers to Afghanistan, Pakistan, and here's the big one, Iran. Hmm. Super big power right now. We're seeing what's taking place. Final one is Ethiopia, back in Scripture, referring to the lands of Somalia, Sudan, and Ethiopia. So what we're seeing is what's happening. God is setting the stage for these nations to rise up at one point, which will happen in the future. They will attack Israel, but here's the, I guess we'll call it good news, at least from Israel's standpoint. Every one of these nations, God literally states in Ezekiel 39, he will burn them with fire as they approach Israel, and they will be wiped out. But that's not quite to that point yet.
I find it interesting that Russian's President Putin had, and I saw some audio from him, a video, talking about a new world order, you know, putting things into place here. But we understand that also Ukraine's President Zelensky has been talking about somewhat new world order and has admired the Canadian President, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and as his point of globalism as well, a proponent of this new world order. And the number of articles, if you put it just in a search for new world order right now, it's just ballistic out on the internet. And there was just an editorial, March 1st, 2022, in the Boston Globe titled this, "Another New World Order Quickly Takes Shape as Ukraine War Rages On." What about this topic of this New World Order? Is this just conspiracy theory, or is there something really going on here as far as putting a New World Order into place?
Well, the simple truth is there absolutely, positively, unequivocally will be a New World Order. Where do we get that from? Well, the only source that we can go to that has accuracy is the Word of God. You go to Revelation chapter 13, and Revelation 13 explains explicitly that there will be three major pieces of Antichrist, or the world dictator ruler, who will come on the scene, three specific pieces to that world system. One is the economic system, as we look at what's taking place with a global currency that's trying to come on. We're looking at one world government. Well, that shouldn't be shocking to anybody, as you said, if you read the news right now, what's coming. The other major piece of this is a one world religion. Bible makes it very clear. All people will worship the dictator, if you will, or the Antichrist, or they will be killed. So without a shadow of a doubt, the global concept is a fact. I always try to answer that question, too, because many people were, of course, very involved, specifically the conservatives, with President Trump. And he was a nationalist. In other words, he was all about America, make America great again. Now, when President Trump left office, many conservatives, of course, were very concerned, upset, and, of course, we're seeing some of the ramifications of that. But let's take that from a biblical standpoint. And I mean this in biblical truth. God cannot leave a nationalist in office. You say, well, why is that? The issue is, if we are 100% on a global world basis, which President Trump was a nationalist, he's kind of playing against what's going to happen in prophecy. So whether we whether folks love or don't love President Trump, I thought he did a great job. But if you look at the current administration, what are they doing? Everything is about going global.
And we're seeing that on many different fronts. So you brought up some different aspects of this. One of that was the economic. And, I mean, what we're seeing taking place right now on rising oil prices, that is taking place, inflation seeing no end, talk of replacing the dollar as a standard of currency for the world, that's going on right now. Some have indicated that we're on the pathway right now for an economic collapse. Is there any significance to this going on? I'm understanding from Revelation 13 there is.
Absolutely. I've been waiting for this for quite a few years, basically devaluing of the dollar, forcing world currency. I've been shocked it's taken this long to get to where I think we're unfortunately getting very close to now. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing now, the American dollar has such a lot of bargaining power across the world. Well, if you watch what's taking place on the news right now, what's taking place? You're looking at a lot of electronic currency starting to pop mm-hmm. up. This is, again, it's setting the stage for what's to come. When all of a sudden the American dollar and everyone's dollar across the world becomes basically devalued, and all of a sudden the world is forced to go to this world global currency. Without a shadow of a doubt, that is on the stage. It's starting to come alive. These are things that people, even a last generation, they would have thought, this is impossible. Mm-hmm. My bank account is secure. My investments are secure. Well, folks, investments are in a very, very tragic potential place right now if this indeed comes to pass in the near future. It's very worrisome. I know many people are scared. They're fearful and wondering what's going to take place. So these are issues that we're watching come to fruition. When is that going to happen? Don't know. But again, Bible tells us there absolutely will be a one world economy, and people will not be allowed to buy or sell without having, if you will, the mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the government, found in the last verse of Revelation 13.
Folks, we're live right here today, March 9th, 2022. I just looked up a story here, and this is from NBC News. This came out 34 minutes ago, and it says, Biden signs executive order that could bring U.S. one step closer to a digital currency.
Well, isn't that shocking? No. Yeah. So it's coming true exactly as we said. And again, if you go to Revelation chapter 13, mm-hmm. everything has to be surrounding this one world currency. And again, here we are. We're getting one step closer in America to becoming a part of that one world global system.
Looking at Russia and Ukraine right now, it's also being reported that Russia has been soliciting Syrian fighters to come on into assist in this war against Ukraine as well. Is Syria enter into the picture?
Well, Syria, again, is one of those prophetic nations. Isn't it amazing that all the key players right now are mentioned in prophecy? If you go to Daniel chapter 11, starting at verse 36 through 45, the Bible talks about the king of the north and the king of the south. We're talking about Syria. And by the way, Damascus, which of course is in Syria, is a major target in prophecy. Because of things that they've done in the past, specifically to Israel, Damascus one day will be wiped out by God. It's going to become a non-player. But right now, Syria is a player. It's in prophecy. Daniel 11 is the king of the north. The king of the south, by the way, which we haven't seen a whole lot of activity from that, we're talking about Egypt. So I'm waiting to see if we see Egypt come on the scene. We're going to have one more major player spoken of in prophecy.
Dr. Richard Schmidt, our guest here today on Crosstalk, a speaker on Prophecy Focus, and leads a ministry, Prophecy Focus Ministries. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, friends, we're going to bring China into the picture. How does China fit into all of this as well? And what about this country called Iran? Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, during Creation Week, what kinds of fish were created?
Chris, the Bible says God created each of the animals after their kind. It says on day 5 of Creation Week that the fish were the first truly living creature that he created. This was the first use of the term living. On day 3, it created plants, but these are never in Scripture referred to as living in the sense that they had blood or the breath of life. Plants are biologically alive, of course, but not living in the sense of having consciousness. On day 5, however, the Bible says that the oceans were literally teeming with life. Each basic type of fish was created at that point. Since that time, a lot of varieties, say of the cod or the bass or the sharks, have arisen, but no new basic kinds. God created all things after their kind back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Dr. Richard Schmidt, who is a pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, Union Grove, Wisconsin, also heads Prophecy-Focused Ministries and conducts a weekly TV program on our station dealing with, well, it's a focus on prophecy and matters that are going on. And certainly we're taking a place, look at world affairs that are taking place today. And I'd like to bring China into the picture. Some are indicating this nation is just kind of watching the U.S., watching the West, their response to all that's taken place, that they may be making some moves in the future. Some are indicating that, hey, this is a time they might go after Taiwan. If you would give us your thoughts on this, Pastor Schmidt, your comments pertaining to China. And China has certainly not condemned the actions that are unfolding right now with Russia and Ukraine.
Well, that statement depends on which source of media you read. I would agree China's basically playing possum to the extent of they're not outright condemning what Russia has done. They say now it's kind of coming out, well, we didn't really approve of it. Well, Russia and China, there's no doubt about it, at the last Olympics were on stage together, the two leaders making it very clear that they're in an alliance or you don't go on camera together. So that's taking place. But let's look at China because it's another major player in the prophetic picture. Where's that? Well, you go to Revelation chapter 16, and it begins to talk in the sixth bowl judgment or vial judgment, if you use the King James Version, in that it talks about that at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, right before Jesus Christ returns, the Bible tells us that the river Euphrates will be dried up so that the kings of the east can make their way towards Israel. And Revelation 16:16 calls it the Battle of Armageddon.
I'm going to have you pause right there because the words you just said about the Euphrates River, if you could do a search on the internet right now, the reports are out there, Pastor, that mention that the Euphrates River and even the Tigris, they're drying up right now.
Well, isn't that amazing? Because once again, what's it showing us? It's fitting right into what Bible prophecy has stated. Mm-hmm. Why in the world do these rivers need to dry up, first of all? Well, when you look at the catastrophic things that are happening around the world, when all of a sudden there's no gas, there's no oil, machines and electricity will probably be totally down. Grids will be down across the world. We're seeing little things like that happening right now. You have 7 years of, if you will, world catastrophe. It's no doubt that they're going to be using different ways to traverse the terrain, including using animals or horses. So it makes perfect sense as to what's taking place here. But here's the thing. The kings of the East. Well, who's some of the kings of the East? China is the major player in the East right now. In fact, they've become a major player in the global situation. They're infiltrated, if you will, America, other major places. They're buying up land. We have, and God bless them, I'm all for them, but there's thousands and thousands and thousands of Chinese students in America right now. And by the way, I'm not suggesting in any way that they have any ill motives here. But everything is just being set up for when that time comes that China will be that major player. So when their alliance with Russia, with their alliance with Iran, with their alliance with other nations that are anti-Israel, anti-America, this is, without a shadow of a doubt, setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.
Well, I find it also interesting about China's control over a number of ports right here in the United States. They're buying up of lands and properties and industry as well.
Well, that's absolutely true. So again, when we're looking at these major players, why all of a sudden do we see China, who was basically the place we bought our toys from? It was a good place to get inexpensive and somewhat reliable goods. Now all of a sudden, that economic picture has morphed into a massive political and economic picture, just as Scripture stated it would happen.
Well, there's another major player in all this that have given their affirmation to what's taking place, and that's Iran. And it appears President Biden is just right now on the precipice of a brand new agreement with Iran, totally thwarting the Constitution of the United States following, well, he served under President Obama, who did the same thing with the so-called Iran deal. No, we're not going to call it a treaty, because if it's a treaty, then it has to be ratified by the U.S. Senate with a two-thirds vote. So we're not calling it a treaty. We call it a deal. But now it appears, and that was rescinded by former President Trump, but now it seems like we're just on the precipice of bringing this back again. And again, some of the things they're looking about here would really seem to be to the own our own demise here as the United States.
Well, that's the unfortunate truth of this. But again, we go right back to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 5. Mm-hmm. Persia. Who's Persia? Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran. It's a proven geographical truth from Scripture that those three nations are involved. Iran is becoming, has been for quite some time now, a major player. We worry about Iran. We worry about Iraq. And everyone who knows anything about those countries know that they're not exactly favorable to a country called America. So when we look at this situation, it's very disturbing that our current administration is basically looking at funding. Here's an interesting thing that just came out. Okay, so President Biden says we're going to cut off Russian oil. Everybody's pretty much aware of that. That's driving gas prices up. Who's the next alternative in line? Well, according to the news reports, it's going to be Iran. Well, we're worried about funding Russia so they don't kill Ukrainians. That's a good thing. But next, we go to Iran, and we're going to fund Iran, who wants to kill us. I'm not quite sure how that makes common sense. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the biggest issue with everybody from America is concerned about is why in the world are our pipelines shut down so that we can't get our own oil? I heard in a White House press conference 2 days ago, it was stated that there are hundreds of permits that oil drillers can use right now to get oil. And the comment from the White House was, well, why aren't they doing it? Well, here's exactly why they're not doing it, because how are you going to get that product to the gas pumps, to the refineries and so forth? There's a ton of different issues, yeah. And I understand with that, but this is problematic.
It really is problematic. And what we see, and right now all the focus of the White House is blaming Russia for the rise in oil prices, negating what President Biden did soon after he took the oath of office and shutting down Keystone XL and the drilling and not granting the permits for drilling on lands like we had fracking and so forth. That all those things that brought our oil prices down, we were escalating before this, and now it's really taken off.
Well, and again, from a prophetic standpoint, here's an issue that I wish someone could get to the White House and those worried about climate change and all those things. The Bible makes it absolutely clear that this earth has to last a minimum mm-hmm. of 1,007 years. 7-year tribulation period talked about in Daniel 9:27, and a 1,000-year literal millennial reign of Christ on this earth, Revelation 20:1-7. 6 times in 7 verses, God makes it clear that the millennial kingdom is 1,000 years. This earth is not going away anytime soon.
Pastor Schmidt, Russia has also been giving some warnings about the use of nuclear weapons. That should be rather concerning to the world.
Well, it's extremely concerning. And when we look again at, and I'm going to go back to the passage you used, Jim, Matthew chapter 24, verse 22 makes this statement. If those days of the tribulation, if you will not be shortened, in other words, kept to that short 7-year period, it states this, no flesh would be saved. Hmm. Nuclear, is there going to be a nuclear war? It very well could happen. I'm trusting the Lord's going to come before then at what's known as the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15:50-54, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:13-18. Jesus is coming back. And most of us as Christians are saying, Maranatha, come Lord quickly, because obviously we don't want to be part of what's going to be taking place.
Something else we're observing right now with what's happened with Russia and the war against Ukraine, we are seeing Ukrainian Jews that are heading back to Israel, and we're seeing that aspect taking place. That also bears significance, does it not?
Jim, you give me goosebumps when you talk that subject, because Ezekiel chapter 37 makes it very clear that God will draw the Jewish people back to his land. In 1948, there were maybe 100,000 Jewish people that lived in the land or somewhere close to that of Israel. And now what we're seeing is out of the 15 million Jewish people that exist across the world, approximately 7.5 million Jewish people have gone back to Israel. There was a, and very quickly, I was talking to a lady just last week who relayed this story to me. A Jewish couple in America were in bed. They both woke up at the exact same time. She looked at him, he looked at her, and they both said, "We need to go back to Israel." And what was why? And they have no answer why. We just need to go. And God has been doing that since 1948. 50% of all Jewish people across the world are returning. We'll see probably many of the Ukrainians now head that direction as well. And I just saw a nice report. It was a good report of 100 young Ukrainian Jewish children that just made it to Israel. God is drawing his people. Isn't it amazing that God's word, 1,000 prophecies, 500 have come to pass exactly as stated, 500 more to come to pass exactly as stated. God's word is undeniably accurate.
And here it is, Al Jazeera, just days ago, about 100 Ukrainian Jews have arrived in Israel. Government officials say some 10,000 are expected in the coming weeks from this area.
Well, God's spiritual magnet is pulling his people to their land. It's undeniable.
Do you believe we're seeing the unfolding of the United States right now?
Jim, that's the question I hate to even ponder, but we have to ponder it. The only place, and people constantly state, and there's two ways to interpret the Bible, either literally or allegorically and spiritualize it. I believe the Bible should be interpreted that God meant what he said, and he said what he meant. When you look throughout Scripture, not once is America talked about in Bible prophecy, not once. Now, there's some of your listeners that will say, well, you're wrong. It talks about an eagle, or it talks about a bear, or it talks about different things that they try to push as being America. Well, I think from the prophetic picture, America is never discussed, and I know some will disagree with that, but here's the one place it is potentially discussed. Ezekiel chapter 14, I'm sorry, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2, Zechariah 14, 2, the Bible states at the end of the tribulation, at the Battle of Armageddon, all nations, every single nation that exists will be drawn to Armageddon. That is the only potential place, if America exists, that they'll be at that battle. Outside of that, America is a non-player. We could disappear tomorrow and it wouldn't affect prophecy one bit.
We see all that's unfolding before us right now, Pastor Schmidt, and we must ask ourselves the question, what is the responsibility of believers in such a time as this?
Well, Jim, there is one massive mission that Jesus Christ gave to Christians. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save those who are lost." We go ahead to the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. The Apostle Paul made it very clear that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost. What does it mean to be lost? It means people that are on their way to a horrible place called the lake of fire, the politically incorrect term of hell. It's true. It's there. Jesus' mission is to see folks come to Christ. That is the key thing that God has called me and you to do. And every single person here who knows Christ as their Savior, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he's called us to be his ambassadors.
We're going to pick up a little more with that right after the break. But folks, I'm also giving you opportunity to call in with your questions today for Pastor Richard Schmidt. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Dave Cristiano has produced and directed impactful Christian films addressing timely issues. This month, offered is a set of his productions, including the 90-minute Power of the Air, in which a missionary from Africa warns of the danger the church in America is facing due to the influence of the media the church is consuming. Also in this package are three 25-minute productions from 7th Street Theater, including On the Air, addressing the issue of depression, The Bus Stop, addressing the matter of prayer, and Mayday,
an evangelistic film comparing the days of Noah to the return of Christ. This set of DVDs is available for a donation of $20 with additional sets to the same address for an additional $12 donation per set. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. You may also visit vcyamerica.org.
A prophetic outlook on our world is our topic today. Dr. Richard Schmidt is with us today. His website, by the way, prophecyfocusministries.com. prophecyfocusministries.com for more information. And we're talking about this prophetic outlook on our world, and we see all that's unfolding. And just before the break, I had asked that question, what's our responsibility in such a time as this? And just told us from 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're to be ambassadors for Christ.
Absolutely. And those who are being good ambassadors now, many of our Christian friends are scared, they're concerned about things, and we've been pretty point blank about some of the things that could take place. I encourage all of our people, and those, of course, in my congregation down at Union Grove Baptist, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, beautiful words that are so helpful at this time. Trust the Lord basically with everything. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him or the Lord, and He shall direct your paths. I also like 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Finally, I like to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, very familiar verses that God gave to the Jewish people right after they had built the temple. And He said, if you ever get away from God, if things ever start to go wrong, here's what I need you to do. Four things. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then God said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. If indeed God has, in His sovereign will allow a healing of our land and a revival to take place, those are the four key elements that God's people need to do.
I'd like to also have you briefly address those who are not God's people. Those who are listening right now who have never placed their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior before. I mean, we talk about that you talked about these vile judgments, the bowl judgments, and other judgments that are coming forth here in the book of Revelation. We talk about that battle of Armageddon. Not a very pleasant picture here.
Not at all. And there is a way to escape it. And we tell the gospel not for the purpose of simply escaping danger, but because Jesus Christ loves them. Here's the gospel in four simple key things. Number one, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Every one of us is a sinner. Secondly, because we've sinned, if we got what we deserved, every single one of us would go to the lake of fire and burn forever, Revelation 21:8. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down from heaven, died on the cross specifically to pay for your sins. And then the great verses I just love sharing, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells you the pathway to heaven. For by grace, God's free unmerited gift, are you saved. Saved from sin, saved from the penalty of hell, if you will. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast. Every single religion talks about what we need to do to get to heaven. God said, I'm not interested in what you did. I want you to humble yourselves and receive the free gift of salvation, or the free gift of eternal life, by trusting what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection.
And that invitation is open for all.
Absolutely.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And listening friend, if you're in that category of not trusting Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. Today, now, is the accepted time. Let's go to West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. A couple of things. First, just to touch on Syria. I'm thinking about when I first heard about that, and again, what's the big deal? They're used to getting special treatment by their enemies during war. Look what happens whenever our guys go to war. Everybody they fight, they have rules of engagement. You can't do this, you can't do that. I don't think they're going to get that kind of treatment from the Ukrainian military. The other thing is, your guest mentioned Magog, and do you call it Russia, Magog?
Yeah, the absolute answer is yes. Magog on ancient maps, which we actually have copies of, Magog is the territory of what would have been the Soviet Union or Russia.
Oh, okay. Soviet Union, yeah. I always understood that Magog was those southern Soviet states like Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan and so on, whereas Russia proper was Rosh. Is that true?
Well, Rosh, and again, there's a couple of different scholars that will look at it from a different standpoint, but what we can agree on is that the land of the Soviet Union, which Russia, again, is trying to get control of, definitely incorporates the term of Magog.
Okay. Well, finally, I just wanted to mention to everybody out there in Radio Land that for America, these times are bad, and it could get a whole lot worse. But if America's not here at the end, that means it's also not squaring off against Israel, and it's also not squaring off against the risen Christ, and that would be a good thing. And individually, receiving the risen Christ as your Savior is imperative.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Let's go to Ann calling next. Hi, Ann. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob and Esau. Jacob stole the birthright from Esau, and he was on the run. His mother, Rebekah, told him to go to her brother Laban. When Jacob was in the desert, he was fighting with an angel. The angel said, "Release me." Jacob said, "I will not release you until you bless me." The angel said, "Henceforth, your name is Israel." Jacob's now Israel. His 12 children are the tribes of Israel. Back in those days, Israel as a country did not exist until 1948 when the Jews took it from Palestine. So we need to know who we are. And I have also heard it said.
Hold on, Anne. What are you saying? Are you saying that the church is Israel, or what are you saying here?
I'm saying that the chosen people are Israel, and it's not a country. It's the 12 tribes of Jacob.
Oh, what about the land that got? Okay, we're going to address. Thank you for your thoughts and opinions on that. But it seems to me when God spoke to Abraham that there was also a land involved, Pastor.
Absolutely. She's referring to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, where it discusses the call of Abraham. And we go through Scripture. There is absolutely what's known as the land covenant. Where you find that is in Deuteronomy chapter 30, first five verses, where God promised to give him a land. In Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 15, God said, "I will take you to a land." So the children of Israel, she's absolutely right, indeed involve all the Hebrew people, all the Jewish people. But he promised to give those Jewish people the land, which is the promised land. Genesis 15 actually outlines the land that are to be given to the Jewish people. The Jews right now, or Israel, has 10% of the land that God has promised to give to them. So if you go to Genesis 15, that will answer her question.
Okay. Thank you, Ann, for the call. Any follow-up on that?
Yes. Esau being, God says, I love Jacob, but I hate Esau. And that's in Malachi chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. So the Esau and the Edomites are the Amalekites. And God says, I will war with Amalekites forever. The Amalekites.
Okay, and do you have a question, Ann, for our guest here?
Yes. Had you heard that George Soros the Antichrist is supposed to be a Jew? So that means anti means against Jesus, anti-Christ. Some believe, and they have stated.
Okay. Tell you what, do we know the identity of the Antichrist? I mean, I once heard that Ronald Wilson Reagan, because he had six letters in each of his names. Do we know the identification of the Antichrist?
Well, the absolute answer to that is we absolutely have no idea at this point who it's going to be. Mm-hmm. If indeed the Antichrist comes in our generation, first the rapture has to take place, then the Antichrist will come on the scene. So I refuse to name names at this point. Many have done that throughout Christian history. It's always proven to be a wrong choice by those that have done it. So at this point, we'll just wait to see who God actually allows to be put in place.
Thank you, Ann, for your call. Jim is next. You're on the air, Jim. Hello, Jim.
My phone out.
Hello.
Thank you for this topic.
Yeah, Jim, Jim, go off speakerphone, please. You need to be on your regular phone.
All right. I'm going to try to go to a different room here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for this topic today. And I have a comment and a question. First of all, what you're talking about today, I should compel every Christian to go out and make disciples. We don't know how much time we have. And, I've asked my pastor, why don't we talk about prophecy more? I don't know if I really got a good answer. So it just kind of hurts, you know, to not be up on what's going on. But the second question I have is as far as Babylon, there's in the Bible it refers to Mystery Babylon or just Babylon. Is there a difference?
Okay. Thank you.
Who do you think Mystery Babylon is?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, two things. One is I'm sorry that you don't have a church that preaches prophecy. There's many that refuse to go there. They call it controversial. I find there's no controversy within it if you explain it from a literal standpoint. Union Grove Baptist Church is 30 minutes, about 25 minutes south of Milwaukee. If you're in that area, we encourage you to come. Well, you'll hear plenty of prophecy there. Now, when we go to the Babylon, he's exactly right. In Revelation chapter 18, verse 19, it talks about Babylon. Now, chapter 17, I'm sorry. What are we referring to? All right, so in chapter 17, it talks about mystery, the great city or the great Babylon. There's those that take the comma out of there, if you will, because in the original language, there were no punctuation marks, and they believe that Babylon is figuratively speaking of Rome or America or some other country. If you look at it from the literal standpoint, the chapter before Revelation 17, i.e. Revelation 16, talks about the destruction of Babylon. Then immediately we go into chapter 17, discuss Babylon as being the head of the religious headquarters of the Antichrist, Revelation 18, the economic headquarters of the Antichrist. So there's two varying opinions. There's very, very good scholars on both sides of this issue. I've been, and I used to be on the Rome concept, but I don't go there anymore. The reason why is Luther and Calvin, basically during their generations in the 1600s, they took Revelation 17 to speak about Rome specifically because, and with all due respect to our Catholic friends, the Protestants were being heavily persecuted at that time, and they looked at the Catholic Church as being the great Babylon. Well, I think as we've progressed in our theology, I think we can look at Babylon as Babylon.
Take care of your question, Jim.
Kind of.
Great. Okay, thank you so very much. Okay, let's go to, Helen is next in Kingwood, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Oh, I want to ask, I have two comments. There's a scripture, I don't know whether it is Isaiah, but it says that people will be standing on the streets, their eyes will be melting out in their heads, the tongues will melt in their mouths, they will drop, and also about the camels and donkeys and in the countries with the tents.
Okay, what is your question?
Where is it? I mean, is it in Isaiah?
No, you're actually looking at Zechariah, I believe, chapter 14, where those actually will take place. It's referring to the time of the Battle of Armageddon. So in chapter 14, we start out with the return of Christ, and then it goes through. And it's a very disturbing passage, and you're absolutely right. It's going to be a horrific time.
Jesus mentions that in, I think it's in Mark. He says it'll be a horrible time.
Yes, Mark 13.
Great. Thank you for the call, Helen, and we'll get just a further comment on that right after the break. Thank you for the call. We're up against a break here. Back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Sadly, many Americans and even many in the military have been brainwashed to believe that America's military could stomp all over Russia anytime we wanted. That is absolutely not the truth. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, whose radio show I produce, has documented on his radio show and in an article that Russia's ICBMs are, which is intercontinental ballistic missiles, are at a 95% state of readiness all the time. 95% state of readiness all the time. They could launch many of their ICBMs within 3.5 minutes. They're on a constant combat readiness level. Putin, right now as I'm recording this, is in a bunker, in a control center. They have way more ICBMs than we do, way more. They've cheated on so many of their treaties with us while we've honored our treaties, and now they're on the fifth and sixth generation warfare, and we're in bad shape. Our ICBMs largely are on subs that have to get out to sea and get close to strike, and our planes would take up to 3 days to get them ready to go. America is vulnerable. Wake up.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Richard Schmidt with us today, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, and also heads up Prophecy Focus Ministries, their website, prophecyfocusministries.com. And you've got the passage for that woman who had called just a moment ago.
Right, yeah, I knew it was Zechariah 14, and it's actually verse 12. And at that Battle of Armageddon, when Christ returns, here's what will take place to those who are there. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. It's just an absolutely horrible time. By the way, it's also a companion passage of Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through the end of the chapter, verse 21, where Jesus comes back and with basically his voice will strike all of these people in at Armageddon dead, and Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12 explains the results of that.
Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Scott in Clarksburg, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was calling about Zechariah 2 when you spoke that about the U.S. Not being part of, like, in prophecy. Well, like, with my interpretation, like, without the British and the United States, the Israel wouldn't be a nation right now. So we're kind of like what's held Israel in its place, because there's a lot of people that are against Israel, a lot of nations. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, it says A.R. Fawcett in his commentary on Zechariah, he talks about how the Antichrist comes from within, right? Whereas in Gog and Magog comes from without to attack Israel, right? So so the Antichrist is from within the nations who are with Israel.
Okay, Pastor Schmidt.
All right, very interesting. First of all, let's go back to where the Antichrist must come from according to Scripture. If you go to Daniel chapter 9, the 70-week prophecy, Daniel 9, 24 to 27, it makes it very clear that the where the Antichrist will come from is the people that would attack Israel and destroy the Second Temple. Well, we know without a shadow of a doubt, because it's 2,000-year-old history, that the Romans came in and attacked Israel. It said the prince that would come from the nation that would destroy the Jewish temple and basically scatter the Jewish people. That was an individual that has to come from what would have been back in the day known as the Roman Empire. It's very interesting to note that if you take a map of the former Roman Empire and you place it on a map of the current European Union, it's very, very similar. So, and I'm not suggesting that the European Union is going to be, if you will, the central focus of the 10 Confederate nations that rise up with Antichrist, but they certainly are going to be the infrastructure, and the Antichrist must come from what was previously known as the Roman Empire geographical area. So that's unequivocal from Scripture.
Now, you're not denying the role the United States has had in Israel to this point. I mean,
no.
Harry Truman and the actions he took to the U.S. blessing Israel in many different regards, the Lord has used the United States of America in that regard.
Absolutely. And there's some that would disagree with this. But again, you go back to the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And God made it very specific. I will bless those who bless Israel. I'll curse those who curse her. So I think, and has God preserved America this long because we have been an ally of Israel? Well, I'll let folks debate that, but I think that definitely may play into it.
Thank you, Scott, for your call. Julie is next in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air, Julie.
Hi, thank you. I have three quick questions. One is, when Trump put the embassy back in Jerusalem, was that part of, you know, some prophecy there? And then two, some evilness that goes on in this nation, especially thinking of Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton and all the evil things that they get away with, and they're allowed to keep doing it. I don't see where God is, you know, because he does cut off the evildoers. I don't see how that is playing into the into God's love for goodness. And then number three is, when I look at the times that are going on right now and I think about the end times, I can feel afraid. I'm a born-again believer. I'm saved, and I'm a Christian. I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart, but yet I still feel fear. I still feel afraid that, you know, I would have to, you know, I would not be able to buy anything.
Julie, I'm going to cut you off there. I'm not trying to be discourteous, but I'm looking at my clock, and we've only got 2 minutes remaining, and I want our guest here to be able to address these issues. So we did get your fear question in here as well. Go ahead, Pastor, with the three.
All right, questions. Number one, Trump moving the embassy to Jerusalem. It was a wonderful political move. It was also, in my opinion, a great move in reality, because it recognized Jerusalem as its rightful place, as, if you will, the capital of Israel. Does it have prophetic significance? Quite frankly, I can find none. Secondly, you talked about the lawlessness and evil that's currently taking place. During these times, remember, God has never promised one single Christian anything but peace in heaven. He'll give you peace on earth, but here's the problem. What happened to Jesus? Crucified. What happened to the 12 disciples? Killed. What happened to thousands and millions of Christians over the years, including today? Martyrdom. Our ultimate peace, and that's why one of the great things about the gospel is the Bible makes it very clear that those who live godly in this world will suffer persecution. So, yes, God is love. Yes, there's a wonderful ending for those of us that have trusted Christ, but there's no guarantee for us here on this earth.
In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, he said.
Absolutely. The final thing is, yes, even as Christians, we have emotions. We get scared. We get fearful about certain things, and that's why we must go back to the Scriptures. I love, again, those two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And here's God's challenge to us. Trust in the Lord. It's an absolute commitment that you need to make to him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And, Jim, I don't mean this to sound as bad as it's going to sound right now, but the worst thing that can happen to me and you is we're going to die and go to heaven. That's a pretty good ending.
Wow. Thank you for the call here, Julie, and we apologize to others on hold. We have run out of time. Dr. Richard Schmidt with us today, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church and Prophecy Focused Ministries. His website, I think you can contact you through your website as well, prophecyfocusministries.com.
Absolutely, or myugbc.com, or just look up Union Grove Baptist Church on the internet, and you'll come right to us.
myugbc.com, and that's for My Union Grove Baptist Church. If you remember that, you'll find that as well. Well, friends, indeed, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And Scripture says, as we have this hope, we purify ourselves even as he is pure. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.